Jodi Arias, convicted in the murder of her lover, Travis Alexander, brutally murdered. So many stab wounds, they really couldn't be counted. Somewhere between 27 and 29 stab wounds. And then shot in the head, his body left to decay, naked, in his shower stall. We are awaiting the outcome of a Jodi Arias appeal in Arizona. We ain't heard the last of her yet. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
What's going on?
A friend of ours is dead in his bedroom. We hadn't heard from him for a while. We think he's dead. His roommate just went in there and said there's lots of blood. I didn't go in, but I can give you the phone to someone who went in there.
Yes, please, can you?
Hello.
Hi, so what's going on?
He's dead. He's in his bedroom.
Okay.
In the shower.
Okay, how did this happen? Do you have any idea?
No, we have no idea. Everyone's been wondering about him for a few days.
She said that there was blood. So is it coming from his head? Did he cut his
head? It's all over the place.
Hold on just a moment. Okay, you're a good friend of Travis's, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yeah.
Has he been depressed at all, thinking about committing suicide, anything like that?
I don't think he's been thinking committing suicide. He's been really depressed because he broke up with this girl. And he was all upset about that, but I don't think he would actually kill himself over that.
Has he been threatened by anyone recently?
Yes, he has. Okay. He has an ex-girlfriend that's been bothering him and following him and slashing tires and things like that.
And do you know the ex-girlfriend's name?
Her name is Jodi.
Jodi Arias is her name, a name that will live in infamy. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Jodi Arias, convicted in the murder of her lover, Travis Alexander, even converting to the Mormon religion, to please her lover, Travis Alexander, a devout Mormon. He ends up dead, his body decomposing in the shower stall with about 28 to 29 stab wounds. Nobody was ever sure how many because of overlapping stab wounds and a gunshot wound to the head in the prime of his life. Why? Although the state doesn't have to prove motivation, it was speculated because he insisted on breaking up with her and dating a new woman, actually planning a trip with a new person. But as I said, it ain't over yet. Right now, an appeal hangs in the balance with Jodi Arias as we learn disturbing new information regarding Jodi Arias spending the holidays with her boyfriend behind bars. What? With me right now in All-Star Panels, kicking it off with Kirk Nurmi. That is Jodi Arias's former defense lawyer and author of Trapped with Miss Arias. I guess that title says it all. Bobby Chacon, friend and colleague, former special agent, FBI, and star of the FB Watch series Curse of Akakor. Dr. Karen Stark, renowned psychologist, joining me out of Manhattan. You can find her at KarenStark.com. Forensic expert, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, and author of Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon. If that title doesn't make you want to read it, I don't know what would. Joseph Scott Morgan joining me right now to RadarOnline.com, investigative reporter Alexis Tereshchuk. Alexis Tereshchuk, I can always count on you to do some digging. How the hey did you find out that what is wrong with men? Why are they attracted to Jodi Arias? Look, I'm not saying she's not pretty, not to me, because I know she's a cold-blooded killer and she's cray-cray, but a lot of men think she's attractive. They think she's got a pretty face. They think she's got a great body. Is that all they think? That's a question for the shrink, because clearly Alexis Tereshchuk, even from behind bars, she can lure men. What do you mean she had holidays with her boyfriends, her lovers? What?
So according to the records that I obtained from the Arizona Department of Corrections, in the last 3 months, she has spent hours and hours and hours with this gentleman named Benjamin Ernst. Ben and Jodi met. And in fact, she had hatched this plot while she was behind bars to marry Ben. And she had even talked about trying to get pregnant by him, thinking that that would somehow get her out of jail.
So explain to me, wait, Alexis, I'm drinking from the fire hydrant here. It's too much too fast. Did you just say get pregnant behind bars?
I did.
Okay, I thought that's what you said. Now, you have a baby, right, Alexis? A beautiful baby boy, correct?
I do.
You do know where babies come from.
I do.
Right? So how is Jody Arias going to get a bun in the oven behind bars? Not under, is Arpaio still in power out there?
He is not.
He's not in power of the jail anymore.
Who's the new sheriff?
Paul Pinzon.
Oh, yeah, I love Paul Pinzon. That's right. Paul Pinzon is not going to allow anybody to get pregnant behind bars. I don't believe. So explain to me, Alexis Tereshchuk, how can Jody Arias plot to have a baby from behind jailhouse walls?
Well, this is just sort of one of Jody's harebrained schemes. I think she thought maybe somehow they could smuggle some sperm into the jail and it would happen. Jody's crazy. And that's what she was hoping that could happen. Maybe she was thinking it would be immaculate conception.
But where did you get that information? How do you know that?
She wrote this in a letter to her, I believe that we're mitigation specialist, Maria De La Rosa. She wrote in a letter that, you know, if she was pregnant with Ben's baby, then maybe this would help her in her sentencing.
Okay, as much as I really want to go to Dr. Karen Stark, psychologist joining us, I'm sorry, Karen, but I've got to go to Kirk Nurmi, Arias' former defense lawyer who went through so much trying to defend her at trial, got a lot of hate mail, made a lot of enemies in his efforts to defend Jody Arias, ending up with a big kick in the teeth. Kirk Nurmi, now I'm beginning to understand your title of your book, Trapped with Miss Arias. What do you make of her scheme? I wouldn't even say that it's far-fetched, because if anybody could do it, Arias could, to mitigate her sentence by getting pregnant with her old boyfriend from behind bars. What do you make of that, Kirk?
Well, look, I think it's consistent with the plan. I talk in my book about this. Back then, it was more related to money and getting attention from men and getting their money. And this may be more of the same, or it may be some plot or get out or some sort of scheme. And she's always got some sort of scheme she feels like she can play men with. And beyond that, obviously, Miss De La Rosa is not her mitigation specialist. She was her mitigation specialist. So she's got these people that she can convince of her victimhood and get them to advance her agenda.
Well, we know that Jody Arias can spin a yarn. Does anybody remember her ninja story? Listen.
I turn around. There are two people there. One is a guy and one is a girl. I couldn't tell that at first, but I could just see one was a girl, and I assumed the other was a guy because their build and then their voices. I remember if they were wearing, like, maybe jeans.
What did they say?
One was in all black, one was in jeans.
Did they say anything? What words did you hear? What phrases?
Who is that? Who is that? I thought he was by himself or alone or something, and he was like, shut up, just finish it. And Travis was screaming the whole time. He wasn't screaming like a girl. He was just like he was in pain. Like he was like shocked, like, oh, you know.
He took off.
I ran and he stopped me. But
he stopped you?
Oh, Travis. He was still like conscious and still alive. And
she just left him there.
She's actually crying, Karen Stark. Karen, she's so convincing that when she tells the police during interrogation that two ninjas dressed all in black broke in while she's, I guess, still having her sex marathon with Travis Alexander, trying to convince him not to take another woman to Cancun. These two ninjas dressed all in black break in, kill Travis, and she escapes. And Travis is screaming. And did you hear it go like this? Oh, the whole time. And she ran away. She's actually crying as she recounts his story. It's a big fat lie that didn't happen. What is wrong with her?
She's a pathological liar. And so when she tells these stories, Nancy, for her, they're real. She's reliving what she sees in her mind, and she can cry over anything. She's the most manipulative person. We know that. So she comes up with lie after lie, and it doesn't even cross her mind that maybe this won't be very believable because she just told about ninjas, and now she's changing the story again. And Jody Arias will say anything to get attention and try and get people to empathize with her, see if she could change her sentence, fall in love with her. She's really good at that.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Aaron, you told me that you lived with Travis during the time he dated Jodi Arias. What was that relationship like? What did you observe, if anything?
You know, when they first met, Travis was on cloud nine. Here was a very attractive young lady that he had met at that convention in Las Vegas. They shared a lot of similar interests, some similar passions, a real drive and ambition in life. And so he thought he had found the one. And at the beginning of the relationship, everything seemed like it was going to go perfectly and possibly go all the way. You know, things deteriorated quickly. There were lots of trust issues.
Right there, Aaron. Let's not put perfume on the pig. What do you mean by there were a lot of trust issues?
Well, you know, she's admitted in some of her statements that she would go through his emails, his social media accounts, his text messages. There was a time when they were on vacation together and he was a sleeper in the shower and a text message came in from another girl. And she responded to that girl as if she was Travis, telling her how happy that he was to be with her and she's the best thing that ever happened in an attempt to scare this girl away from Travis.
Okay, what a wackadoodle. Okay, so she gets the now deceased lover, Travis Alexander's cell phone. That's me speaking with Travis's friend, Aaron Dewey, and starts responding to a woman that had texted Travis Alexander as if she's Travis. Now, I want you to hear, speaking of tall tales, take a listen to what, now remember, keep in mind, Arias has said two ninjas broke in Travis's home while she's there having a sex marathon with Travis Alexander, and they slaughtered him, and she managed to somehow, James Bond, sneaky snake, disappear, get away from the killer ninjas. But wait a minute, not so fast. What about this?
Were you at Travis's house on Wednesday?
Absolutely not. I was nowhere near Mesa. I was nowhere near Phoenix. I wasn't even close to him.
What if I could show you proof you were there? How would that change your mind?
I wasn't there.
Can you be honest with me, Joey?
What? Okay, now wait a minute. Bobby Chacon, a former special agent FBI, current star of the FB Watch series, Curse of Akakor, which is crazy in itself, but that's a whole other can of worms. Bobby Chacon, Curse of Akakor. Didn't she just say two ninjas broke in and murdered Travis and she managed to sneak away? But wait a minute. She also said she was nowhere near there. And with a straight face, because I've watched the interrogation many, many times, she looks right at them and says, no, I wasn't there. And then suddenly the ninja story comes up. What happened, Bobby?
Yeah, I think what she did was her initial lie, was to say, I wasn't there. And if you listen to her response saying, I wasn't anywhere near Mesa, that's not the way a normal person would respond. A normal person would say, I was in San Diego, or I was in Redding, California, or I was in New York. They wouldn't automatically say, I was nowhere near Mesa. Distancing herself already from it is a sign that her mind is working to distance herself from that crime scene, which she knows she was at. So that response in itself, not saying I was in Redding or I was home with my grandparents in California, rather I was nowhere near Mesa, would indicate to me as an interrogator that she's lying. And then, so what happens is that's the initial response. I was nowhere near there. That's the initial lie. In her mind, she probably starts already analyzing that, saying, they're somehow going to figure out that I was there. They're somehow going to be able to prove that I was at his house somehow. So she adjusts her lie on the fly.
Well, yeah, Bobby, didn't you notice? And they said, the interrogator said, well, what if I could prove
that's right.
You were there.
That's right.
There was a long pause. There was a very long pause. Yeah. And I guarantee you there was some rapid eye blinking right there. So what do you do as a defense lawyer when your client, remember the appeal is happening right now, the appeal is hanging in the balance in Arizona. What do you do with a client who first says, I'm nowhere near it, and then says, there was a home invasion by ninjas, where else can you go? Listen to Kirk Nurmi, the man himself, trying to dig his client out of the hole she dug with her own teeth.
Something did happen in this moment of time. And the point of this, I think, is what this evidence shows you is that either what happened is that Jody Arias defended herself and didn't know when to stop, or she gave in to a sudden heat of passion from a fight that began up in that bathroom. And that what she did under that sudden heat of passion. Demonstrative of that is this idea. She doesn't remember any of it. So what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is ultimately, if Miss Arias is guilty of any crime at all, it is the crime of manslaughter.
You're hearing Kirk Nurmi trying to make a silk purse out of a cow's ear. He's got a client that he's got to defend. The judge has ordered him to use all of his talents, all of his education, all of his expertise to defend Jody Arias. He gets in the ring and he tries. So what do you do with a client that's given multiple stories? None of them can coincide with the other. Kirk Nurmi joining me, author of Trapped with Miss Arias, a renowned defense attorney, defended Jody Arias. I've told you this story before, Kirk. I had a judge. Judge Alverson, who would tell every jury, it is your duty to make all witnesses speak the truth, impugning perjury on no one. In other words, don't assume witnesses are lying because their story doesn't jihaus with some other witness. Maybe they can both be telling the truth. Maybe one had a different vantage point. Maybe one heard something the other one didn't, and the stories are slightly different. But Arias, really, her stories are so widely divergent. There's no way to cobble them together to make a beautiful quilt. It ain't going to happen. So you went with self-defense. How difficult was it to represent Jody Arias?
Well, it was very difficult. And in terms of we went with self-defense, remember, the client guides the story. She has the Sixth Amendment right to get on that stand. We saw her soaking up the media attention in that 18 days, and she wanted to make the claim of self-defense. But you know, since you can't prove that a lie, like you were just explaining in your story, you have to let her get on the stand and say her piece because it is ultimately her life that is in jeopardy.
Well, you're right about that. You cannot stop a client that wants to take the stand. Joe Scott Morgan, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, author, Blood Beneath My Feet on Amazon. Joe Scott, when you hear someone like Jody Arias, I just can't help but think that you're chomping at the bit because you know somebody that talks that much has got to have left a trail of evidence a mile wide.
Yeah, you're right, Nancy. And for her, she backtracked so many times and then offered these alternatives, you know, the ninjas, all these sorts of things. And I think that, you know, you kind of captured it there in the moment when she went to that pregnant pause where the police officer said, hey, listen, I can actually prove that you were there. You know, she's thinking in her mind, oh my God, have I stepped off into this thing? Because now, even if she doesn't know anything about forensics, she knows that she was there. And as our old friend Licard said over 100 years ago, every contact leaves a trace. She has left something behind at that scene that is physically going to tie her to that event. And not just that, as we find out, as the timeline goes on, there's this connectivity with her, with these timelines, moving about, buying gas cans, and all these sorts of things that kind of tie her back to these events. It's a web that she just could not escape from.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Well, there's a lot of forensics suggesting that I was, you know, in his house. Of the evidence that they presented to me, I was asked the question, if you were presented this evidence and you were a third party, what would you think? And, you know, I need to be honest, and the evidence is very compelling, but none of it proves that I committed a murder. None of it proves that I committed a crime. What it does substantiate is what I did tell detectives.
Did you... I have have to ask you this. Did you kill Travis Alexander?
Absolutely not. No, I had no part in it.
Did he have any enemies at all?
To my knowledge, no. He had a strong personality, but he was very well liked and loved. I just can't think of a single soul.
So you had nothing to do with Travis Alexander's death, is that what?
Nothing to do with it.
Nothing whatsoever. She's adamant. I had nothing to do with it. At this moment, her appeal hangs in the balance. Oh, wait. Take a listen to this.
You're the person who actually slit Mr. Alexander's throat from ear to ear.
Yes.
Wait a minute. What? Alexis Tereshchuk, is something wrong with my IFB? Because I just heard her say, I had nothing to do with it, no part of it. And then, did you slice his throat? Yes! It just comes out. Alexis Tereshchuk, now with all that in mind, you're telling me that some guy is visiting her behind bars and is in love with her?
He is. For years and years, and it's consistent. He spends his holidays with her. He was there Veterans Day. You know, you get a day off from work to thank the people that have saved our lives in our country, and he travels and spends from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the prison with Jody and does this like...
And I believe, according to your research, he also spent Labor Day with her.
He did. Yeah, he spends holidays with her. Weekends, too. He'll spend entire weekends throughout the months with her, a Saturday and a Sunday. Again, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. One day, I think he got there at 9 a.m. He was a little bit late that day. But he spends the entire day with her, the whole weekend.
This, on top of the fact that her appeal is very active at this moment, we're waiting to hear from the court. Now we learn in a headline that, Jackie, thank you so much for lifting my spirits by giving me this headline. Jody Arias' new artwork website is now launched and live. It starts like this. Happy 2020. Quick post to let you know, Jody's new artwork website is now launched and live at artbyjodyarias.com. Be sure to check out everything that's available. Limited edition prints, original colored pencil pieces, with an extensive archive section. I bet they are archived because you know nobody. Actually, somebody is buying it. Now, a lot of it looks like she thumbs through, and I'll have to go to you on this, Dr. Karen Stark, a psychologist joining me from Manhattan. At KarenStark.com, it looks to me like she thumbs through magazines and traces pictures and then colors them in. Now, I'm certainly no art critic. You know that about me, Karen Stark. But I'm pretty sure she's tracing out of a magazine.
But there's always people who are fascinated by the macabre, right, Nancy? So they love the idea that she's
so
in
that's
jail.
How you say that word. I've always wondered. Now, wait a minute. Wait, but what is wrong? No offense, Bobby Chacon, Kirk Nurmi, and Joseph Scott Morgan. What is wrong with men? Like, there's not enough women. Jackie's single, people. Yep, she's raising both hands. What I'm saying is, aren't there enough women on the outside? Do they have to go to a convicted killer that sliced her last lover, well, that I know of, her last lover, throat ear to ear? What? Why? What is wrong with them, Karen?
They are attracted to the fact that she's notorious. That's the appeal, Nancy. Women do it, too. Women write to men who have been in jail. Look at all the women that were in love with Ted Bundy. There's an appeal to these guys. They don't want to believe that this beautiful woman who can cry at the drop of a hat actually is capable of murdering, or anyway, she would not murder them. Maybe she would murder them. They don't understand the mind of somebody who's a psychopath, that this person can't love, that no one is real to them. And they find it extremely appealing.
You know, Alexis Tereshchuk, as much as I'd love to keep talking about Jody Arias getting pregnant behind bars, can I ask you, who are these people that publicize, quote, we are Team Jody and we will, with will underlined, we will be victorious? Who are these people?
This is the craziest thing. These people have been supporting Jody since the beginning. They're random, I mean, for lack of better words, they're random internet trolls. Like, you know, in the beginning, when Jody was going through the trial, they were raising money for her. They kind of figured out that you can't give money to a criminal and she can't profit off things. But they've raised money, quote unquote, for her defense. And it's up to like almost, I think, $100,000. It has really dwindled lately, though. There were only $800 in donations made in 2019. But these are people from all over the world that believe that Jody is innocent. They believe that what she did was in self-defense because Travis Alexander was a pedophile and he...
Wait. Kirk Nurmi, please help me because now my chest is hurting. Thanks, Alexis, for the chest pain. Kirk Nurmi with me, Arias' former lawyer, author of Trapped with Miss Arias on Amazon. Kirk, when Alexis Tereshchuk... Alexis... I'm afraid you just sold your soul to the devil by putting the name Travis Alexander in the same sentence with the pedophile. Kirk, was there ever evidence that, substantial evidence, that Travis Alexander had ever been a pedophile? I mean, I know that I think some of his underwear had a superhero. I can't remember how it went now, but I thought that was... really unfounded.
Well, look, it goes back to what I said before. Look, you know, testimony is evidence, and a client, even irregardless of their attorney's advice, can go out and tell the story they want to tell unless that attorney can prove it wrong. So as ill as advised as it might be, Miss Arias was able to present that argument despite the lack of actual evidence in favor of that or in making that connection.
Well, as a matter of fact, take a listen to this.
Travis was not a pedophile. That was just a story that she was told to come up with that would help her in her defense for the murder of Travis. Her father never molested her, laid a hand on her sexually in any way. That was also just a story that she came up with that would hopefully help defense for murder and get her off of the charges. Jody never thought that she ever would have been charged with these charges because of those allegations.
That's from RadarOnline.com. Speaking was Donovan Baring. You know, to you, Kirk Nurmi, I want to follow up. And I don't even like talking about the fact that Travis Alexander was never a pedophile at all, ever. That was a story fabricated by Arias to try to help her defense, to get the focus off her and on him, the innocent victim.
That's right. And that's far from the truth. As a matter of fact, I did everything I could to not have her advance that story. There is no evidence behind it. But Miss Arias, and we've talked a little bit about her being a sociopath and putting things forward, she has her way. She has her ideas. And that's what she's going to follow, regardless of the cost on humanity.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
When was the last time he saw Travis? Was it 3 days ago?
When was the last time you saw Zach? Travis. They want to know. Last time I saw him
was, last Thursday or Friday?
The last time I remember seeing him was last Thursday.
Okay.
When was that time? Mimi saw him last Tuesday or last Monday. She talked to him last Monday.
Okay. And everyone is out of the house? There's no one else in the house?
No, no one's in the house.
Okay. And what is your name?
My name is Michelle. I need to ask a friend something. Here, I'm giving the phone to me.
Okay.
Hi. She's
in business partner.
Okay. And this is, okay, the tub is in his bedroom?
Yeah.
You were hearing part of the 911 call made by Travis Alexander's friends when they had not seen or heard from him in days. I want you to hear the rest of that conversation. Listen.
I didn't go in, but from what I heard, his roommate went in. There's blood in his bedroom, mm-hmm. behind the door, and then he said it's all over. And then they went in the bathroom, and he's in his shower.
Okay.
So
and his bedroom is where in the house?
It's upstairs, and if you go up the stairs, it's on the left. It's the first door on your left. It's the only door on your left.
Okay.
And it's just a big master suite bedroom up there.
And he's talking to his friend right now. There's a girl that's been stalking him and things, and he's trying to might know some information. I hope my phone doesn't die. I'm on like one bar of battery.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to keep you on the phone until officers arrive, either officers or paramedics arrive, okay?
Okay, I think I can hear the siren now.
Travis Alexander, brutally murdered. So many stab wounds, they really couldn't be counted. Somewhere between 27 and 29 stab wounds. And then shot in the head, his body left to decay, naked, in his shower stall. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Right now, we are awaiting the outcome of a Jodi Arias appeal in Arizona. With me, Alexis Tereshchuk, RadarOnline.com investigative reporter who has gone and done her homework and found out that Jodi Arias is actually having secret prison visits with her boyfriend, the convicted killer, spending holidays and weekends with her old lover. And he travels to come and see her. Alexis, how far does he travel to get to Arias on weekends?
I believe he lives about 4 hours away. It is a four-hour drive each way for him. So he spends... He must spend the night near the prison, but it is a very, because he's there 2 days in a row. He never just comes for one day. He's there. And you know who else he was just joined with? No, Jodi has random visitors. She has these supporters that have been her friends for all these years, but her family had not visited her in a very long time. I check on this. I report on this every quarter, really. And nobody from her family had visited her. All of a sudden, her mom and her sister and her brother visited her, and the boyfriend was there at the same time. Who knows? They maybe had a wedding behind bars.
Alexis Tereshchuk, right now the appeal is pending. Tell me about the appeal and the status of the appeal.
So Jodi has some appeal.
Well, wait, are you back on a first name basis with Jodi Arias? You're calling her by Jodi this and Jodi that?
Yes.
What do you think, she's going to invite you over for dinner when she gets out?
Or invite me to the prison because she had some fancy roast beef for Christmas dinner.
Maybe she'll invite you to the wedding, but go ahead, please. I want to hear about the roast beef, too, but go ahead.
She has new attorneys. They filed an appeal for her. What they are claiming is not that she didn't kill Travis Alexander, but that the prosecutor acted so poorly during the trial, and that because of that, it created a media circus, and the media circus unfairly influenced the trial. And they did not mention you by name, but they did talk. They were talking about you.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't know I was dragged into this. What do I have to do with it?
It is all your fault. You were the one that you were there every single day, making everybody in this whole entire country care about this case, talking about it nonstop. Don't you remember Jodi Arias, one, gave you the finger, and then also slit across her throat.
Wait. I remember her shooting a bird at me. If she slit her throat at me, I must have blocked it. Okay, maybe it scared me. Alexis, what? I don't remember that part.
Yeah, that happened. She made a motion, like a cutting across her throat motion with her finger.
Oh, right. Now, you know, Kirk Nurmi, if only that could have been brought in as a similar transaction. Okay, Kirk Nurmi with me, Arias' former defense attorney. Trapped with Miss Arias is his new book. You can find it on Amazon. Kirk Nurmi, did you know your client gave me the finger during the trial?
You know what? I'm sorry, Nancy. I had my focus on other things. But
oh, I bet you did. Let me tell you. I mean, but what do you make of the lover visiting, driving? Okay, I just got to ask you, Kirk. Did she ever come on to you? Don't lie to me. I know you're, you know, happily in your relationship and all that, but did she ever come on to you? Don't lie to me, Kirk Nurmi, because I already know she did.
I'm not going to lie to you, no, because you know what? She has an innate ability.
Yes, she did.
Now, hang on a minute. She has an innate ability to test the waters. She knows she immediately senses which men are subject to manipulation and which aren't. So she focuses on those that will drive 4 hours and spend the entire day in prison with her and doesn't pay mind to those she knows who won't fall for that crap.
I think you're trying to tell me she didn't. But, you know, to Bobby Chacon joining me, former special agent FBI, current star of FB's series Curse of Akakor. Bobby, Come on, you know the deal. When you don't know a horse, look at her track record. That's how Arias operates. If she's got a man, she will turn him, come hell or high water, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing you do look at. I mean, obviously you can't bring it into a trials, but it's something that's you know, germane to an investigation when we're looking at someone's background, whether they're capable of doing something like this or not, is you start, you look into their background, you look into their previous relationships. Do they have a pattern of behavior that could have carried forth into the current situation that we're investigating? So sure, all of that. And when you find somebody like this, usually when they're this level of crazy, they've had past relationships that have either been on this level or leading to this level. And so those types that you find ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends who are no longer in the picture, but have said, I ran away from that person as fast as I could when this stuff started happening. So these patterns of people that are this obsessive, they're very hard to hide. And so oftentimes they're very obvious in the backgrounds, and then they lead you, and they can lead you to things in the current situation. That's why they're relevant to an investigation.
Jody Arias can certainly point the finger. Listen.
3 years into serving that life sentence, Arias is appealing to have the conviction overturned, alleging, among other things, prosecutorial misconduct and that the court's failure to control news coverage created a circus-like atmosphere, which deprived her of the right to a fair trial. The appeal also alleges that certain TV personalities like Nancy Grace gave the trial a reality TV flavor. Grace reacting to that accusation on her SiriusXM podcast, Crime Stories, on Friday.
How can you get away from the fact that her own admission and her camera convicted her, not me or anybody else?
And just days after her conviction, a defiant Arias speaking to ABC News.
So you really are never going to tell the truth about what went down in that bathroom?
I don't know what you mean by that, because I've told the truth.
Okay.
I didn't know that you were a hater when you came to interview me.
You're hearing from our friend Paula Ferris at ABC. It's everybody but Arias. But warning, again, it ain't over yet.
Stay tuned tomorrow for more of our conversation about Jody Arias and the death of Travis Alexander. Tomorrow on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.